Okay, so we're on Daf Hey Amal, am I correct?
Yep.
Rava Amar. So we're going back to the sugya of Minolan. How do we know that Chametz is also an Erev Pesach? I mean, after all, the Torah says Shivas Yomim. And that means that Lo Yimotzei Vatechem Shivas Yomim only 7 days, but not Erev Pesach. But yet on the other hand, it says Bayomar Rishon Tash Pisu. So we had a few different opinions. Let's just review. According to Abaye, there's a conflict between the two psukim. Shivas Yom means that from the very first moment, the inception of Yantiv, there's no chametz in Yerushas. But yet, Tashpisu B'yor Rishon means you have the chametz in your possession, you're destroying it. Second, we had the brice of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel has a pasuk in Shmos Yudbeis with regard to
Yeah.
No, Eov is coming up around the bend. That's from Nach Bar Yitzchak. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, we have Barishon Barbosa Yom LaChodesh, and there the Torah specifically identifies Rishon as our Basar. So we see that the word Rishon is our Basar. This is a kind of almost Gzeira Shova that Bayom Rishon Tashbisu and Barishon Barbosa Yom LaChodesh. That's an equation between the two. Just like the Rishon Barbosa, it says explicitly that's referring to Yudalit, so too Rishon in the case of Tashbisu. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak has the pasuk in Eov, and the Gemara goes into a long analysis of this because the word Rishon can't be made kara, can't be before and prior to, because in many psukim it clearly refers to that day and not the previous day. We're not going to say that you can't do malacha on Erev Sukkot, so you take the lulav on Erev Sukkot, but all those other Rishons, the Gemara packages in an agadic statement about Beschar Shlosha Rishon, Zachu L'Shlosha Rishon. And then we're up to Rav. Rav Amar Mehacha. Does everybody have the place? It's how many lines before the wide lines? Let's count. One,
seven.
Two, three, four, five, six, 7 lines. Mehacha Lo Sishchot Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. The Torah has formulated a law, a special Isur, which engenders, by the way, a Chiv Malkus, if you shecht what? The carbon pesach. It's not a calf, by the way. It's a lamb, right?
It's a lamb?
Yeah. And what do you have in your possession at the time of the Shechita?
Chametz.
You have Chametz. Well, Sishchat HaPesach Adayin Chametz Kayom.
Is that Korban Pesach? It's not good?
No, it doesn't say that the Korban Pesach is possible. That's already the discussion in the fourth parak. But what it does say is that the Shochet engenders a violation of a lav and a chiv malchus because he has chametz in his possession. Now, it's fascinating because how many people shechted the Korban Pesach? Did every member of Klal Yisrael actually shecht the Korban Pesach?
No.
The Pesach was shechted by one person on behalf of what?
A
chabura.
Yeah.
Correct, a chabura. Now, it's interesting. The lav of Lo Sishchat
seems like it's on each individual person.
It's on each individual person. That means that any members of this chabura own chametz, then the shochet violates this lav. He's got a guarantee that none of his colleagues, so to speak, you know, his partners in this chabura have chametz in their possession. He's going to get everybody on board. And the plot grows even thicker because the chabura could appoint a shliach who will do the shechita, but he's not a member of the chabura at all. What happens if I shecht a carbon pesach on behalf of this chabura? Let's say I shechted already on my chabura. Now I'm shechting as your shliach because not everybody knows Shechita, right? So I know Shechita, so you appoint me as your shliach to do the mitzvah of Shechita HaPesach, even though I'm not a member of the Chabura. And nevertheless, if there's chametz in my possession, or in possession of any members of the Chabura, I violate that law of Lo Sishchat. B'kitzur, to make a long story short, where does this Isur belong? Does this Isur belong to Hilchas Chametz, or to Hilchas Karban Pesach?
Hilchas Chometz, isn't it? No.
Well, take a look. What is the what's the Maisa Ver?
The Maisa Ver is in the Chometz.
I don't think so.
No, the Maisa Ver.
What is the Maisa Ver? You have to identify, right?
The Korban.
I know
you're a lot of Shech, though. You're a lot of Shech.
Because the Maisa you do, but the Maisa you're doing.
You're a lot of Shech, the Korban pays up with Chometz being there. You're just not allowed to have Chometz.
The Maisa, but no, let me ask you a question. Let's say.
The Maisa is the Shech. Like, you need to check all these things before you chef.
If you have chametz in your possession, you don't necessarily violate this law. That's why I say it's not a chametz. The chametz comes in through the back door. The basic fundamental isa and the avera and the ma'isa avera is what? Is the shechita of the carbon festival sishchad al chametz. For example, let's say you shecht any carbon whatsoever outside the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody know what that's called? Shchutei chutz, it's called. Shchutei chutz, for that you get a very serious onus. It's called karis. It's very scary. Where would you place that? Avera. If you were classifying it somewhere in the Rambam, where would you find it? In Hilchos Karbonos, for sure. But this too is halach in Hilchos Karbonos. For the same extent that you're not allowed to shecht any carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can't shecht the carbon Pesach when there's chametz around. So the odd thing about this statement of Rava is that Rava wants to establish a halacha in Hilchos Chametz, namely that the Iser Chametz and possession thereof applies on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan. And he derives it from a halacha in Hilchos what? In Hilchos Korban Pesach. He's cross-breeding over here. He's overstepping his bounds. And I think that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Look at the Gemara's question. V'ema, shouldn't we say, kol chad v'chad ki shachut? Every individual, when he shechts the Korban Pesach, he violates this law. So you see that every individual shechita is enjoined under this law because this chametz in possession, but it's not an Iser chametz. It's an Iser shechita. For example, at what time of the day should this Iser of owning chametz be activated?
6 hours. No.
Why?
Did
you check the Korban Pesach at the 6th hour?
From the time you're going to check it, that's what it's right.
Ruvei checked it at 12 noon. And Shimon checked it at 2 p.m. And Levi checked it at 4 p.m. I mean, you can check it the whole afternoon. When do you incur this lav? When you checked it. So call chad v'chad. It all really depends. So you can't make a universal Iser chametz for every single Jew from the moment the clock strikes 12 noon, based on the pasuk lo sishchat. Lo sishchat means kol chad v'chad. Whenever you this Joe or this Larry shechts the Korban Pesach, that's when the Isser is, for having chametz in your Rishos. So it's interesting, the Gemara is really in a sense shifting the Isser from a chametz dikah Isser to a shechitas Korban Pesach dikah Isser. If that be the case, you can't establish based on this pasuk a universal time that's prohibited in chametz and only chametz for everyone from midday. It all depends on when the shechita was done. So the Gemara gives a strange answer, and we have to work very hard to understand the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, "Zman shechita amar rachmana." What does that mean? Zman shechita amar rachmana. Tosis points out that you violate this law only when you actually shecht the animal, the Korban Pesach. So what does it mean, Zman Shechita? The Gemara is identifying the Zman Shechita with the Zman Iser Chametz. That's not so.
The time you shecht the animal.
No, but Zman Shechita means the entire afternoon, from midday until nightfall. That's called Zman Shechita. Of course, that's true, that you could shecht the Korban Pesach at any time during that 6-hour period. But when do you violate the law?
When you
actually shecht it. So what do you mean, Zman Shechita Amar Rachmana? Is it true that you violate a law of Lo Sishchat if you own chametz at noon and you haven't yet shechted the Korban Pesach?
No, isn't it saying at the time you're going to actually shecht it? Yeah, Zman is during that whole time, but when you decide to cut it, then it's...
That's what I thought, but no, the Gemara says, Faker, the Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says that no Jew is allowed to possess chametz from noon on Erev Pesach. It's completely forbidden. And how do I know this? Because it says in the pasuk, "Sishchat es hachametz al dam zivchi." What do you mean? The pasuk is only telling me that when I shecht the carbon and I have chametz in my possession. No. The Gemara says, "No zman shechita kama rachmana." The Torah is referring to the zman shechita, and therefore you're not allowed to possess chametz during the entire zman shechita, meaning any moment that's ra'i l'shechita. So take a look at Tosis. He really works hard. Zman shchita komrach mona afal gav di emesu de lo sishchat al chametz kol chad vechad kishachid. Tosu says that it's true, and we'll see this in the Gemara later on in the second half of Sukkot, that's Pesach Sheni, that each person incurs a violation of this law when he decides to shech the animal. Hashochet is a Pesach al chametz over the law. So it means it's an individual time period that's prohibited because I chose to do the shechita, to implement the shechita at that moment in time. So how can you tell me zman shechita kam rachmana? How can you prohibit the entire piece of time, that whole span of time, for everyone? It all depends on each shechita. You tell me zman shechita kam rachmana. But that's not true. The halacha does not reflect this principle of zman shechita kam rachmana. So it says in it, mikomakom, kevon di ashkechan, the Hizir al Hashbasa, the Torah commanded us to destroy chametz, which means we're not allowed to own chametz. But again, it's a little bit unclear exactly when, at what time period are we enjoined from chametz. And the Hizir Shalo Lishchal Pesach al chametz, the Torah also enjoined us from shechting a carbon Pesach when we have chametz in our possession. Svarahu, it's logical. Shebizman shchita hizir al hashbasa. Tosus generates, he produces some sort of an equation here between hashbasa and shchita. And what's going to be common now? What are we going to derive from this equation?
Now we're going to derive one chametz plus osur.
Exactly. That the zman chametz is equal to the zman shchita. Follow this. We have hashbasa. Torah says you can't own chametz. Get rid of it. When? Well, the Torah says you violate an isur by shechting the Korban Pesach with chametz in your possession. When? Whenever I shecht. So again, Hashbos has chametz has an unspecified, unclear time period. When is the time for Hashbos? Torah leaves us in the lurch. When do I have to shecht the Korban Pesach? Anytime during the 6-hour period from midday on Yudalit until nightfall. That's the previous tosus, the carbon tosus. But I'm focused on this breakthrough in the Gemara. Zman shchita kam rachmana, says tosus. Since the word tashbisu is unclear, the Torah left us hanging. We don't know when we are enjoined from chametz. When do we have to destroy our chametz, get rid of all your chametz? We don't know, and we're asking it all. The Torah says lo sishcha. So Sishchat is going to reveal something about Tashbisu. And what's it going to teach me about Tashbisu? When is the Issur Tashbisu? The time for Shechitas Pesach. Do you have it? I'd love you to write this down. The Zman Shechitas HaPesach is going to be the Zman of Hashbasa. Because we have an equation here between Hashbasa and Shechitas HaPesach. But what's the underlying logic of this equation?
That they're equal. That there's a connection of some sort. I mean,
correct. There's a connection. But what forces, what's the svara that Tosa says, the logic that forces that connection?
That if you're allowed to do one, you must not be allowed to do the other.
Again, the Torah says, don't shecht your carbon pesach.
Exactly.
He says, what do you say?
There's an unclear time period during Tashbis is what forces the hand, yeah?
Okay, but why should Lo Sishchat be the key that holds the, you know, the that unlocks the mystery of the unclear Zman Hashbasa? We have an unclear, undefined Zman Hashbasa. Now, Lo Sishchat comes and clarifies that for me. Why? Because what is it about that Isur Shechita Lo Sishchat that's strange in a sense, that's unique? It's not just an Isur Shechita. It's not like, you know, I can't shecht when?
When you can have chametz.
When I have chametz in my possession. Apparently the Torah doesn't want chametz in your possession. Is it standard or subjective? In other words, does it depend subjectively on each individual when they have chametz, or is it standard? So we have two psukim. We have Lo Sishchat, and we have Tishbos. Right? Hashbos, Tashbis. We're going to take Lo Sishchat and it's going to reveal to us that the Torah doesn't want you to have chametz in your possession. But how does that teach me something objective? If you're talking about Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and the moment of their individual shechita, that's a subjective issue. That doesn't tell me objectively, when does the Torah want us to get rid of our chametz? Of course, the Torah says tashbis and get rid of your chametz, but the Torah didn't help you with that and define exactly when. Since the Torah now says that this ownership of a chametz, the possession of chametz, is antithetical to what? To shechita, right? And you violate the iser lav of shechita when you possess chametz. The Torah is therefore telling me at what time period should we be rid of our chametz? At any time period in which I can violate this lav. And when can I theoretically violate this lav? Any time during this month, from midday on. You got it? Let's go over it one more time. On the one hand, the Torah says, Tashbisu, we don't want you to have possession of your chametz. On the other hand, the Torah says, don't shech the Korban Pesach with chametz in your possession. In other words, the Torah detests chametz in your possession. The Torah is opposed to that. When? When you shech the Korban Pesach.
That's the same thing. Those two statements.
On one side he said you should have chametz. On the other side he said you should.
Daniel, do me a favor. Can you sit here? I can't see you, hard. Come sit here. I don't bite.
But he's saying the same thing.
Wait, who's talking here? Norm, you want to speak on his behalf?
I said it. Norm said he said the same thing.
Okay, so both of you can speak if you.
Speak at the same time. I said the same thing. We should understand.
Both of them, or none of them, or one of them. No, seriously. Let's not joke around. What are you saying to me? What are you saying? Oh, you want to sit here?
I'm just kind of blocking him, though.
Zamal. So you said Zamal, he can't block. So he said that on one hand, he said on one hand the Torah says you shouldn't have chametz.
Right.
Another hand it says you can't do the korban pesach when you have chametz. Why is that? Why are they on opposite sides of the spectrum?
No, what I'm saying is one is ambiguous, the other is subjective. We're not happy with either of them. Why? Because if I have tashbisu, I'm not happy because I don't know when the Torah tells me to get rid of my chametz. And if I have osishna, that becomes subjective and it all depends on each individual. But what's inherent in the osishna is the Torah doesn't want you to have chametz. So what we're going to do is now, we're going to take that whole maze, churn it up, and what we're going to say is take that osishna and give me something objective that should apply to every Jew.
Okay. If I can be so brazen, why does the Torah have this extra pasuk? It shouldn't have it at all. Meaning, it could so much it's easily just
which
clarify
pasuk?
In one pasuk. The first one, Lo Tishcha. The first one. It should just say the only thing that you say about the Korban Pesach, and there it should say you shouldn't have the chametz after whatever. Meaning, why do we have two pesukim? Neither of them really say anything. One says there's an issur for having chametz, and the next one says you can't. If you do your Korban Pesach, you can't have chametz. So basically, what's the point of having the first pasuk?
Which first pasuk? I always forget which is the first.
Tashbitu. What's the point of having that? Well, either or. Ah, basically, it's a double.
If I don't have tashbitu, then all I have is an isur shechita.
You have an okay, and if you have
also isur chametz.
No, I have an isur chametz as a detail, as a condition in the isur shechita. That's all I have. But the isur is the shechita. That's why I keep telling you over and over again. When Ploni Almoni shechs the Korban Pesach, he has chametz in his backyard. He will get malchus for that shechita. That's an isur shechita. I don't know that there's an absolute and objective, all-inclusive Isser incumbent upon every Jew not to possess chametz. I know there's an Isser Shechita. So I'm left in the lurch here because what I have is an Isser Shechita. And that's, so I need Tashbisu to go beyond the Isser Shechita and engender an Isser possessing chametz.
Okay.
Clear? Oh. Now, why not just give me Tashbisu without the Isser of Losishcha? The answer is because because Tashbisu will only engender an Isur of owning the Chametz. Now I have an additional Isur that I violate when I shech the Korban Pesach. But there's one fundamental difference between the two. In the case of Tashbisu, what time period when the clock strikes what do we kick off that Isur Tashbisu? 12 noon. In the case of Osishcha, when is that violation violated? Only when you actually shech the Korban. But since Lo Sishcha does not have the power to engender some sort of objective Isur, the Torah is certainly saying that we don't want you to have chametz in your possession, but that's a din mi dine, a prat mi pirte, shchitas ha-pesach. What we have to do is now we have to introduce, inject the Tashbisu to indicate, to reveal to us that there's a universal, all-inclusive objection to owning chametz. How do we figure out that time? since the Torah says that only chametz is a problem for Shechitas HaPesach, let's look at that parasha and try to objectify. On a subjective level, the Isur of only chametz to start the Shechita depends upon when you actually do the Shechita. You Reuven or Shimon or Levi.
So why can't only...
But if I want to get it, if I want to extrapolate from that, that the Torah doesn't want possession of chametz, I inject Tashbisu into the framework of Los Ishchad, then what I end up with is Zman Shechita Kamarachmon. That the Torah in Tashbisu wants you to get rid of your chametz within the framework of Zman Shechita. That means any moment that's royal Shechita, even if I haven't shechted my carpet.
But why does Bo Tashbisu have to apply before you go to carpet? Why does it have to be objective? Why can't it be subjective?
Every isur in the Torah, that every isur of possession, in other words, when we're not dealing with a maisa avera in the classical sense, we're dealing with possession. Possession of chametz is a separate pasuk of Tashbisu above and beyond Lo Sishcha.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying why can't that separate isur be subjective isur? In other words, why can't it be that you're over two isurim if you bring the Korban Pesach and you sell chametz in your property? You're over the Lo Tishchot, and then you're over also the other one, Lo
Tishbosu.
Because realistically, if you don't sell your chametz, if you don't get rid of your chametz, and then you bring the carbon 2 hours later, you are over both. Correct?
Correct.
So why can't that just be also subjective to the point where
the premise of the Gevar Shalom is that that the mitzvah of Shvisas chametz is objective. Why?
It has to
because be. There's no indication in that Isur, which is written in the context of chametz, that Tos says, Afi Yom Rishon Tashbisu, that we're addressing ourselves to Reuven or to Shimon or to Levi and giving each one of them a separate Isur card that says, oh, here's your Isur chametz card. You know, you're going to get 9 to 10 and he's going to get 11 to 12. The Torah says in general, Afi Yom Rishon Tashbisu, it's addressing the whole people. But we don't know when, so the Gili Milsa to fill in the detail about when the time of Tashbisu is going to come from what? Lo Sishcha, because Lo Sishcha tells me you should not have chametz in your possession. So there's some connection here between the Torah's objecting to you having chametz in your possession and the Shechita. Well, if we want to engender and create an objective time for everyone to be enjoined from owning chametz, we're going to take this man Shechita, and that's going to give us the objective element in which the Torah objects to your owning chametz. All right, that's what I think Tosfos is saying. Let's now look at the Braisa. The Braisa Tanya Nami Hachi Achi Yom Rishon Tashbisu Metechem Me Erev Yontif. How do I know it's Erev Yontif? O Eino Elo Yontif Atzmo Tamet Lomo Lo Sishchad Al Chometz Tam Zivchi Lo Sishchad As Chometz Vadayin Chometz Kayom Divrei Rabbi Shmo. By the way, Rabbi said, do we need Achilek at this point? Do we have to have an Ach to split the day into two parts? Is it necessary?
No, no. Seemingly not.
No.
Why not?
Because if we learn from the time of the Korban Pesach,
exactly. Once I have Zman Shechita Kamarachmon, I don't need the Achilek. It's a beautiful word. Now, Gavriel, you mentioned the problem of the Tamid. That's the previous places. Heisha Rashba, Heichi Yolot Me'ot Chometz Also Bivav Shosul Mala. Was Zman Shechita Pesach Achar Tamid Havi. You can only bring the Pesach after the Korban Tamid. So the Korban Tamid can only be brought after Chatzos. Now, let's say it takes a half hour to bring the Korban Tamid. The earliest time to bring the Korban Pesach, to shech the Korban Pesach, is going to be 12:30. So you've got to add another half hour. So Tosis proves, and this is a heavy Korban Pesach sugya, that b'di'evet, if you shechted the Korban Pesach before the Tamid, you're yotze. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach was fulfilled. So the Zman Shechita, at least to the evident under the most extreme circumstances, is already at noon at Chatzos Hayom. Now we study Rabbi Akiva. Okay, this Rabbi Akiva is going to take us till the two dots on Daf Hayom and Bits. That's what I'd like to dedicate our time to for at least a half hour. Okay, and then at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, we'll
do the Tosfos, sir.
Yeah, I want to go back to this Tosfos Hemniu, but that's voluntary. Whoever wants to stay for that, okay? So we'll take a little pause at 2 o'clock, and you gentlemen will decide what you want to do. Because somebody pointed out to me that that maybe an hour and a quarter is a little bit hard for you. So, I don't mind it so much, although truth is I taught in Vassarab for 18 years, and we never had a shiur that was more than an hour long. In fact, most of our shiur were even shorter than that. No, it's a difference in generations. When I was in the Rabshah, for example, way back in the day, I mean, there was never a shiur less than 2 hours. I think I told you once that on Thanksgiving, the Rav got stuck in a sugya. It was a 4.5 hour shiur. And finally, the Rav decided he couldn't figure out pshat. And he says, go home and eat your turkey. But that was after 4.5 hours of shiur. And we used to have to sneak out to eat something. So you didn't want any bald spots of him. So we used to take a rotation. You know, we knew exactly who would go out so it wouldn't look bald, you know, because we couldn't all get up and eat lunch at the same time. And the Rav would go crazy. Where's my shiur? But, you know, concentration for long periods of time today is somewhat rare. I just want to tell you a story, since I'm off the daf for a second. I have a friend, Teddy Gross, who does, I don't know if he still does, but anyway, for many years of his life, he did computer programming. I don't know if any of you are interested in that field. But Teddy tells me, and this, you know, to this day, he told me this 40 years ago or 30 years ago, but I'm still boggled by this. I mean, he's not lying to me. He's not lying to me. He tells me he can do programming for 8 hours straight without looking at his watch. He's just totally oblivious of time. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink. And if you pardon the expression, he doesn't go to the washroom for 8 hours straight.
I can do that with video games. I'm less the same thing.
But whether it's computer programming or video games, it's still mind-boggling to me. Because you know what this proves? That Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mechaber of Yosef Karo writes, and Beit Yosef and also Shulchan Aruch, he writes that the level of Kavanah B'Tefillah is that you are so focused on your prayers, on standing in front of the Shekhinah and talking to the Melech Malkei HaMelechim, that he calls it his Hispashtus HaGashmis. You are completely cut off from the physical world. So I said, it doesn't make any sense. How can a person reach that level? But if Teddy can do it in computer programming and Yoshua can do it in video games, then apparently it's humanly possible to be totally oblivious to all the physicality of life. You're not aware of time. I mean, Teddy looks at his clock and 8 hours have passed.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, but I'm telling you a story that I heard personally. This is first... first hand, clear Rishon.
It's like doctors. One of my rabbis, Rabbi Zimmerman in Skokie, he came in like he hit through a window. And he got his glass cut. He got his wrist cut with glass. The doctor just taped it up, and then turns out like there's still a piece in there. So then blood came out, and there was like some crazy miracle. There was like a hand surgery convention in the same hospital. The world's best hand surgeon was there, and on the spot he did a 22-hour surgery. It was 22 hours or 12 hours or something like... Just sat there, just no preparation, just went in, 22 hours straight. Not 12, I think it was 12.
Well, 12 is pretty impressive.
Well, just sat there for 12 hours and just... Well, you can't eat.
He had he gave him anesthesia, I hope. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ain't no tzare. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need this pasuk of Los Fishman. Okay? So now we're looking at the second of the wide lines at the bottom of the page. Right, 5 lines up from the bottom of the page. Arehu Omer. Ach bayom arishon tashbisu siyor mibateichem. Uksiv kol malach lo sasu. Matzim lavar shiav malach. Who can tell me what Rabbi Akiva's proof is? How does he prove that bayom arishon refers to Erev Yontif? It can't possibly be referring to Yontif.
Because
Daniel? Okay. So he's working with a number of premises. Premise number one is, what does tashbisu mean?
The actual destruction, burning.
Burn, correct. How far? Premise number two.
It says you can't do any malacha on that day, and we know beer.
There's an isa malacha on Yom. Premise number three. What's included in that isa malacha?
Beer.
The only one of those three premises that I definitely think is correct, without a shadow of a doubt, that everybody would accept, is that no, is that there is definitely an isa malacha on Yom. That I can tell you up front. The Torah says it more than once. Kol malachas avodah lo sasu. On Yom. But the fact that Havara is part of that, that's going to be a major controversy.
Making a fire in one, it's definitely not
Rosh. On Shabbos, it's an Amalacha. I'm not sure about Yom.
That's an Amalacha as well.
Machlokas Amalacha.
But
let's just mention Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, and we'll come back to Rav Akiva, because Rav Akiva is the one I want to focus our attention on. Rav Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarev. Harehu Omer, Achbi Omer, Rishitash, Bisor, Meotech, Me'erev Yom. It must be referring to the 14th. Oh, anyway, it will be on the Talmud Lomar Ach Chile. The Ach teaches me about the split the day. The Ibiot of Atzmo Nishari. How could it possibly be permissible to own chametz for half the day of Yontif, for the first day of Yontif? Ha Iskish Hashbasa. This is familiar to us. Hashbasa Siol Achilas Chametz. Achilas Chametz Achilas Matzah. So we know that Hashbasa is equated to Achilas Chametz. You can't eat chametz in the morning of Tesvav ben Nisan, and therefore it's not feasible applying Achilek that half the day of Yontif would be mutter in what? In chametz. Okay. Now we study Rabbi Akiva. Now, our analysis of Rabbi Akiva splits into two parts. One part is Rava's analysis of Rabbi Akiva and the conclusions that he derives from Rabbi Akiva. And the other analysis is Tosfos deriving a very fundamental conclusion in Dibra Maskil Kol Malachu Osasu from Rabbi Akiva. Let's start with Rava. Omar Rava. Here we're turning to Hayamin Beis. Shema Minam Midi Rabbi Akiva Tlas. Let's derive three conclusions from Rabbi Akiva. Shema Minam number one, Ein Bir Chametz Ela Sreifa. Means when the Torah says Tashbisu, it's identical with Sreifa. The only way you could fulfill this mitzvah is through Sreifa. By the way, if you were only avoiding Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah, it would this make any bit of sense? Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah could be avoided in so many different ways. The Gemara is going to tell us at the beginning of the second perek, Zorah Mafar La Ruach, you know, you can take the chametz and you can break it down into small pieces and just throw it in the air, you know, you can flush it down the toilet, you could send it off to the moon, you know, the next spaceship that goes to the moon, you could be mevatel your chametz, make it hefker. I mean, there's so many different alternative ways. But apparently, Rabbi Akiva identifies Tashbisu as a separate mitzvah b'kum vaseh. It's not just to avoid the violation of Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah. There's an active kiyum, very well specified, a mitzvah. And by the way, the mitzvah of Sreifa is very rare. You know, people think that on Lad Ba'Omer there's a mitzvah of Sreifa, right? You know, it's embarrassing, but in my neighborhood, the boys, you know, they collect for months, and what happens is that the fire department has to come down and oversee what's going on, because my porch overlooks Yar Yerushalayim. If Chas V'Shalom, one of those flames takes off, the whole Yar Yerushalayim could go up in smoke.
Yeah, it's twice.
So it's very embarrassing to me that for the sake of fires on Lag Ba'Omer, we have to get every last fireman in the city of Yerushalayim out there on Rehov Nisin, you know, over there to protect.
They're not even firemen though; they're gardeners.
It comes in like a water.
They come with one. There's one fireman with his hose, and the rest are gardeners. Because we had a fire back in the forest. We were watching. They came and they just
Okay.
It was interesting. I was like, it's like back in San
Diego. So in any event, the mitzvah of Sreifa is kind of rare. We find it, by the way, in Kodshim. For example, you have Truma Shenitmeis is mitzvah Sreifa. You have certain Kodshim have to be burnt if they become possible. You might have Nosar when the Torah says Vayish Tisrofu. There are cases of Isuri Hanad, Tzulia Mekdashim, which engender a mitzvah of Sreifa, but now we're throwing chametz to boot and there's going to be a mitzvah of Sreifa. So when you burn chametz, you have a situation of a mitzvah. You obtain the mitzvahs through that Sreifa. Al Minig, in fact, reflects the sheep of Rabbi Akiva, even though we don't pass that the only way you can fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu is through Sreifa, but we do take into consideration Rabbi Akiva, we try to satisfy his requirements. Number two, Shmamino Havara Lechalek Yontif. Number two, we derive from Rabbi Akiva that Havara is a malach on Yontif. Not everyone agrees. And Rashi explains by
Rishis. Rashi goes through that.
There's one man that says Havara Le Lav Yontif, which means the following. That the Torah did not have to say, with regard to Shabbos, now put on your Shabbos thinking caps for a moment. The Torah says, Kol Meleches, Kol Malach Lo Sasu, which includes how many malachas?
39.
One of them is burning. And yet the Torah specifically says, Thou shalt not burn anything on Yom Tov. Right? The Isar Avara is explicit. I'm sorry, on Shabbos. Shabbos. Right? So why did the Torah have to go out of its way to do so? One man, the other says, L'lav Yotis, which means that the Torah is taking Havara, burning, and removing it from the level of a malach, from the status of a malach. It downgrades it to an Easter Shabbos, which is not a halacha. Wait, just 1 minute. No, can you give me an example besides havara of an Isur Shabbos that's not a malacha? Hotzah is a malacha. It's a malacha grua, but it's a malacha. It's one of the 39. Muktzah is probably derabbanan. There's a very complicated Rambam on that. But what would be clearly an Isur Doraisa on Shabbos, but it's not a malacha?
Cooking
is one of the Lamentes malachas. Okay, so one is called mechamer. I'll explain what mechamer is. Another is called chutz l'tchum. Okay, tchum, and that's the machlokas also. But let's say, if your tchum is doraisa, what you're saying is that if you walk more than 2,000 amma outside of the tchum Shabbos, you violate an Isur Shabbos, but it's not an Isur malach. Mechamer means when you lead an animal that has a burden on it. No, so Eruv will in some cases circumvent the Isur Chutz L'Tchum, but I'm saying if there's no Eruv...
I'm saying there's not, you don't have to worry about carrying them, you have to worry about carrying
them. No, I'm talking about Shabbos then. We'll come to Yontif in just 1 minute. On Shabbos, there are two categories. There's Melacha, how many members of that group are there? 39. And there's Isur Shabbos Da'oraisa without a Melacha. And there are three candidates that I know of, maybe there are more, of an Isur Shabbos without a malacha. One is Tchum, the other is Mechamer, and the third is Havara, according to Mandiyama Lulav Yotzis. Now, there's a tremendous nafkamina between classifying something as a malacha or classifying it as a separate Isur. Rabbi Kivega says there's a nafkamina legabi mumers. You know, a mumer l'chil Shabbos is a mumer l'kol atarkuah. Somebody who violates Malacha Shabbos, you can't trust him, he doesn't have the status of an aid, you can't eat from his food, and many different dinim apply, because Shabbos is, that's why you know, if you, in kashrus symbols, you always see somebody displaying a banner of Shomer Shabbos, because if you're not a Shomer Shabbos, we can't trust you in Yoni Kashrus. Correct? That's called a Mumar L'chol Shabbos. Okay. What about a Mumar L'Isur Shabbos? Rabbi Kivega says that if someone observes all the malachas on Shabbos, he's very careful, he doesn't violate any of the malachas on Shabbos, but he's careless, and he violates the Isurei Shabbos, Rabbi Kivega says he does not have the status of a mumar. So if somebody walks chutz l'tchum, according to Rabbi Kivega, or he's machamer achar behemto, or according to this man yom ha'avar l'olav yotzus, he violates the Isurei Havar on Shabbos, he's not a mumar, because the real chol Shabbos is malecha Shabbos. You got that so far? Now let's apply this to Yontif. What equation, how far is the equation between Shabbos and Yom Tov? How do you define that equation? What do we derive from Shabbos and copy and paste onto Yom Tov? And what do we leave outside?
Copy and paste everything that's the malachos minus the cooking.
No, malachos, well, okay, that's another discussion, right? But malachos minus the Isur Shabbos. Yeah, so for example, we don't have an Isur Tchum on Yom Tov. We don't have an Isur Mechamer on Yom Tov. We don't have an Isur Havara on Yom Tov. According to the Man Yomar, Havara L'Lav Yom Tov. Because once we downgrade Havara from a level of malacha to a level of a separate Isur Shabbos, then we don't apply it to Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov is equal to Shabbos only with regard to malacha. Just 1 minute. And this, I think, is what Tosus means on top. Take a look at the top Tosus on Daf, Hey with Vase. He says, L'chalik Yotzis, me the Kari Lei Av Malacha, the Ode Omer Rivar, I want to call your attention to Rivar for a minute, the Lamad the Omer Lelav Yotzis, Lo Hoya Osir B'Yotiv. If Havara on Shabbos is only a Lav, then it's not prohibited on Yotiv. Why? Cave on the Ein Shem Malacha Alwit. In other words, the premise of the Riva is that in order for an Isur to be extended from Shabbos and applied to Yom Tov, it must have a Shem Malach. It's categorized as Malach. If it's not a Malach in its essence, if it's only an Isur Shabbos, then it's not prohibited on Yom Tov. It could be that before the Riva, the assumption was that even Isurei Shabbos can be transferred over to Yom Tov. But the Riva assumes that Isurei Shabbos cannot be transferred over to Yom Tov.
But what's the lashon in the Torah regarding fire? You can't make a fire, right? And you can't extinguish a fire.
Yeah.
So basically, we would say havar doesn't fit into that category of like in that av malacha.
There is no such av malacha. We're going to have to find another one to jack it up to 39.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're going to have to replace it because if there are 39 malachas and that was one, how can you just say it doesn't exist as one anymore?
Correct. We're down to 38, And now we're going to have another machlokas about another malacha, whether it's included or not, and the shittas are going to be reversed. It's sort of like the game of Sefer Mitzvahs. If you take one mitzvah out, you have to find another one to substitute because the magic number is 613.
Yeah.
Fine. However, Rabbi Akiva holds not lechalik, not lelav yotzis, but lechalik yotzis. Does anybody know what lechalik yotzis means?
Separate.
First of all, you have to introduce one concept here, which a word that has four letters to it.
Split.
Shogeg. Okay, if you don't know shogeg, then you don't know beans about lechalik yotzis. Okay? So what's shogeg?
If you do a malacha by accident, you do a multiple malachas by accident.
What do you mean by accident?
A shogeg.
You didn't know.
No, but what did you not know?
Shabbat.
You didn't know.
The two possibilities.
You didn't know that it's Osir, or you didn't know it's Shabbos.
Correct. Either Shichas Shabbos or Shichas Malach, meaning he never taught this Malach or he forgot this Malach, or he didn't realize it was Shabbos.
So the question is, do you get the punishment for each individual Isser you're over? Or just one. For one time, do you get a punishment
correct.
For that?
So let's say I do two Malachos on Shabbos b'shogeg, but both Behelem Achas.
Yeah, one
let's day. Say, for example, Shigas Shabbos. I forgot it was Shabbos, and if I did two malachas until I reminded myself it was Shabbos, do I bring one karbon? Because any shogging on Shabbos engenders a fee of karbon. That's called a chattis for Shabbos. Or do I bring two karbonos? Is day. Each malacha independent? And
so based on this, lechalik yatzos is saying they're independent, each one. Right? Isn't that the point of lechalik yatzos?
Oh, so let's see Rashi. That's an interesting point. Rashi says the following. Rabbi Nosson Omer, you have it, it's about, say about 13, 14 lines down from the top in Rashi. The first word in the line is Levado. Do you see such a Rashi?
Yeah.
Rabbi Nosson Omer, Lechalik Yotzesor, Shalot Omer, don't be under the mistaken impression that Ha'osa Arbo Chamesh Malach, Hamisha Malach, Avmos Malach, Spishogim, Shabbos, Eno Chayva La'achas. Right? Even though he did it all behelim achas, so it's not that he did harisha and harisha. If he did harisha and harisha, the same halacha twice, then for sure he's only chayav one. But here he did harisha and afia and ksiva and zorea. He did all these different halachas with one shgaga.
But I thought that's only if the av. If you do the
now I'm saying he did different five different avos.
Oh, he did the avos?
Right, that's Rabbi Nosson. He did five different avos. So you would think that he's only chayv one because it was one forgetfulness. And not only that, he violates, in these five different malachas, he violates the same isur. It's all the same aver of chil Shabbos.
I think it's
parat bo b'fnei atzmo lahakish lamahi miyuchedish yav malacha. B'chayom nolel atzmo, it means he has to bring five chatos. Again, not when he repeats the same malacha twice, but when he does two different malachas, five different malachas, whatever. Each malacha.
But if you do the same one, if you do the same one,
I forgot to get on the makos or something with the hair, the cut in there every single time you cut. If you cut,
it's in makos.
Well, though that certainly requires a hasra. Yeah, but you talking about
makos. Let's say you forgot, and then it says like he's chayav on every single.
I don't think so. That's not a key of cards. That's a key of law.
Makos means I think cooking the gid hanasha on Shabbos.
Oh, that's a sugya beitza.
It's beitza, but I think
that's a gemara beitza. But your sugya makis is not relevant to us. I'll tell you what. That's a mazin sugya, not a shogeg sugya.
Yeah,
there we're talking with mazin. We want to know how many sets of malchus.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So if they give him a warning, let's say a kohen is in a beis hakfaros, and they keep warning him, get the heck out of here, and he stays there. So for every shehiyah in the beis hakfaros, he'll get another chiv malchus.
But the shogeg, if you do the same av more than once, the same one, you do it 10 times.
Only one. Unless there's another machalik, which would be shigigos or halogos machalik. Let's say he forgot it was Shabbos, he was kotzer, then they reminded him of Shabbos, then he forgot a second time and did another katsira, b'shtei halogos, then he's chayav.
Right.
And some say that even for Shabbos is machalikos. Let's say he didn't know it was Shabbos, and he did malachos on two different Shabbos. So each Shabbos engenders itself. It's a wonderful sugya masechta krisis if you ever learn it. It mamish a very conceptual, abstract sugya. So that's the second. Now, Shmamina, the third is the most fascinating. Lo amrinon hoyel v'hutra avar litzor hutra nami shalot. This is the sugya beitza, Shalom, that you were referring to, Adap Yud Beis, of mitoch. How many of you have learned the sugya mitoch? It's a wonderful sugya. I mean, if we were learning this be'iyud, I would probably give a week's shiur on mitoch. It's just a wonderful, deep, deep sin. And oddly enough, when the Gemara says mitoch, that if the Torah allows you to do a certain malacha, we'll call it malacha X, for the sake of cooking, baking, any sort of needs for okol nefesh, then you're allowed to do that malacha even shalom tzarech chachamim. Isn't that fascinating? So mitoch, since the Torah allowed you to do that malacha, whichever malacha it might be, litzarech okol nefesh, therefore you're allowed to do it shalom tzarech chachamim. So for example, the Torah allowed me to carry food on Yom Tov. That's called litzarech okol nefesh. What if I'm carrying a baby on Yom Tov? What if I'm carrying a Sefer Torah on Yom Tov? I mean, we carry all sorts of things on Yom Tov. How are we allowed to do that? It's not Okol Nefesh.
Because of
Mitoch. Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold Mitoch. How does Rabbi know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold Mitoch? Havara is a classical case of a Meleches Okol Nefesh. Because I turn on a fire in order to cook something, correct? Now I want to turn on a fire in order to burn my chametz. Rabbi Akiva says I can't do it. Why? Because Havara, Lechali Yotzitz Havara, is a Malach on Yad. But wait a minute. What about Mitoch? Says Rava, you see that Rabbi Akiva does not accept Mitoch, which is a radical chiddush, because we accept Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai Mitoch. All of our celebration, our experience of Yad, is based on Mitoch. We use it all the time, in carrying and in other cases. And it's all based on Mitoch. So this Rabbi Akiva is the one Rabbi Akiva that's most controversial. The second one that's very controversial is the first conclusion of Ein Bir Chametz Ella Sreifa, correct? That was the first one? Yeah, Ein Bir Chametz Ella Sreifa. The middle one, Havara L'Chalik Yotzes, that is universally accepted L'Halacha. So it's very odd, because usually we pass like Rabbi Akiva. In this case, we're only going to accept one of the three conclusions of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Tosis is bothered here. Because, let's say I'm allowed to carry on Yadiv, Litzorach Ochol Nefesh, right? Let's say my mother says to me, son, you know, go to the grocery store, bring me back a dozen eggs on Yadiv, right? So I'm allowed to carry from Rishus to Rishus, Rishus to Rav, Rishus to Yochid, because it's Litzorach what? Litzorach Ochol Nefesh. Can I carry stones on Yadiv?
No.
Stones have no purpose of cooking or baking if it's not related to food. You know, it's good to clear up my pavement from stones. You know, there was an avalanche and some stones fell on the highway. Or on my backyard. I want to clean it away. Can I do that on Yom Tov?
Oh, exactly.
Well, if I buy mitoch, I should be allowed to do that. Carry a vodim from one place to the other.
What about tzarech makom?
Forgetting about mukzah.
Yeah. What's tzarech makom?
Yeah, so that's a mukzah issue. I'm saying forget about mukzah right now, because mukzah is only derabbanan. I want to know if the Torah itself would allow me to carry these stones.
The answer is no.
I mean, so that's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. And it's one of the most fundamental machlokas in all shas. Rashi holds that the Torah, through mitoch, allows hotzah even if it has no relationship to Yom Tov whatsoever. I'm carrying these stones so that the day after Yom Tov, I'll be able to plow, I'll be able to pave my backyard, whatever I'm doing with these stones. Rashi allows it on a Doraisa level. Again, there are all sorts of rabbinic problems. And Tosfos says no. Mitoch means the following. You don't need it to be with Tzorcha called Nefesh. But it's got to be what?
Tzorcha Tzas.
Tzorcha Yom Tzas. But it's got to be related to the day. Something about the day and the nature of the day. For example, Tosfos says, if you're carrying a baby on Yom Tov from one rishus to the other, you're doing it in order to enhance Yom Tov. Like, for example, playing ball.
Tonight.
Out there in rishus Arab, right? We used to play, when I was a kid, we used to play stick ball, you know, from one sewer to the other. I don't know if they still do this. So are you allowed to do that on Yom Tov? Again, leaving out the derabbanans here, just on a deraisa level, I'm carrying the ball from one rishus to the other. Can I do that? So according to Tosfos, I'm allowed to do it because that's considered oneg yom. There's some tzorech hayom. It's not ochel nefesh. I'm not eating the ball, right? But I'm enjoying yom in that way. So I carry a baby.
So
for example, I take my sitter. Why do I take my sitter? So I can daven. Right? I forgot my matzah. It's Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah,
and I need a matzah. What do I do?
He's getting it.
So can I carry it to the shul?
Yeah.
So the answer is, says Tosfos, it's tzorach hayom k'tzas, and therefore comes on the mitzvah. But can I carry stones from one rishus to the other in yontif when there's no tzorach hayom at all? Tosfos says. Now, what would you say about burning chametz on yontif? Can we apply the Torah? According to Rashi, well, Havara is l'tzorach ochel nefesh, then I can expand it to any case, even if shalom and tzorach hayom. But according to Tosfos, he requires tzorach hayom.
That is tzorach hayom.
What?
Because then you burn the chametz.
No, I said burning the chametz is not tzorach hayom. So you said, but you're burning the chametz.
No, but it is tzorach hayom.
Why?
Because
you get rid of the chametz. And that
you're right, though. A sketch. Okay. The Tosfos says the Iyamir Mitoch Shari. This is second Tosfos. The Afagav the Beino and Tzorach Hayom Ktsas Hocha Madem Avayer Havi Tzorach. Why is Madem Avayer Havi Tzorach?
For the Chamed.
Because the day itself genders a prohibition of owning Chamed. If you have to destroy that Chamed, that's the way you observe the day. It's not going to help your belly. You're not going to be filled from it. It's not ochel nefesh. But on the mitoch and tzorach hayom tzas, it's necessary for that day. Good?
Good.
And now we're left with the Tosfos on Omid Alf. Okay, we have 5 more minutes for that. And then those who want to stay on for Hemnu Rabbanon the Rabbanon,
it's good Tosfos,
are invited to be. Okay?
Ah, so thirsty.
All right, Rabosa, what I'm going to do now is read the Tosfos really quickly, and you and I won't understand the word, but hopefully afterwards we'll explain it, okay? Okay. What bothers Tosfos? Does anybody understand these? It's right now it's gibberish. Does anybody understand this Tosfos? Yeah.
The question is that when you burn the chametz, you're making a coal, but then you can use it for food. So is that from that question in the end?
You're 90% of the way there, but I'm impressed. But I think there's one point I want to clarify. Let me just say what Pini is saying.
He's saying that it's one mutter to be good enough.
Chametz is also about enough. However, if you're burning the chametz, listen carefully, for the sake of the
coals,
then you can use those coals for baking and cooking. So therefore, there's tzorach ochel nefesh. Even if Rabbi Akiva rejects the coal, but he certainly allows the pasuk itself. The Torah itself allows ochel nefesh. You can cook for and burn things for the sake of ochel nefesh. Why don't I burn the chametz to use it as fuel? If I use it as fuel to heat up my oven, then I have a definite ochel nefesh. I can cook in that oven because I burnt my chametz. And has Tosfos proved that you can do such a thing? From a Gemara in Kol Shah. The Gemara in Kol Shah tells us about Arlo. What's the status of Arlo? Isuri Hanah. And yet, I can take this arla, right? I can take these leaves of arla, dried leaves of arla, or kernels of arla, and I can burn them and convert them into fuel. And if I bake a bread in that oven that's being fueled by arla, it's mutter. There's no problem. So I do get hanah from the burning of this arla, even though it's Isuri Hanah. So this would be an interesting quiz question. You know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. How do you find Hanah from Isuri Hanah that's mutter? It's like Aeonitis. And what's the answer? Whenever there's a mitzvah of what? Of Srefa. Now, do we have a mitzvah of Srefa in Chametz?
Yes.
No. We'll qualify that. According to whom? According to Rabbi Akiva. Right? Because Rabbi Akiva says, Avi or Chametz? El Shrefa. So since Rabbi Akiva identifies Tashbisu as Shrefa, Avi or Chametz, El Shrefa, then we should activate the principle that whenever there's a mitzvah Shrefa, I'm allowed to be mana from that Shrefa, even though it's Shrefa, Sisuri, Hanah. The classical case is Arla. So I have a mitzvah to burn Arla. The Torah's Shrefa, Sisuri, Hanah. And I'm allowed to be nana from the result of that srefa, which means the gecholim that I use as fuel to to bake my bread, and the bread is mut, everything's fine and dandy. So therefore, I should be able to burn chametz for the sake of the mitzvah of tashbisu on Yom Tov, even if I reject mitoch, because that sreifa itself is a sreifa that engenders ochel nefesh. How do I gain ochel nefesh? By using the coals, after I reduce my chametz to coals, as fuel to burn my oven. Again, forget about the physics of it right now. You know, somebody might tell me, well, Rabbi, I tried the experiment, it didn't work. I took chametz, I burnt it. It was completely burnt, and I couldn't use it as fuel. You know, I tried to make a barbecue, it didn't work. But let's assume that the physics is possible.
Just like if someone cooks meat in a pot, it's now a meat pot, why are those cold beers not just stuff they're baking chametz?
Their essence is
Again, you baked, what did you cook in a pot?
Meat.
The fumes of
cooked meat in a pot?
Just the fumes of the chametz.
The fumes of burning chametz, like, does it make the...
Or as soon as it's on fire, it's considered burned.
No, but wait a minute. It's already burned. You understand? You can't bake on it while it's burning. In other words, if the chametz is there, be'en, be'ez, ayin, yud, nun, and you can see it with your eyes, you can identify it as chametz. Like, if you've gone out to burn your chametz on Erev Pesach in the morning, you'll notice that it takes a while until it's converted into kachol, into chokol.
There's a stain on the ground.
Right? The bread is, you know, it's very bad burned toast, you know, but if you got a stomach ache, you might even eat it.
So there's no worry that the fumes are messing up your food?
No, it's not. It's already charred.
Again, you're not putting your food...
I know you're not actually putting it there, even though it's already burned, but I feel like there's still some stuff to it.
Again, if there's stuff to it, then you're in trouble. You know, you really have to convert it to a pulp. You know, you got to get it down
just
to
like
the pulp.
It's chocolate. Cooking it when you're sure there's nothing left, then it works.
Okay, I don't think it takes 5 hours, but if you like, 5 hours.
But it's not going to relight.
It'll be hot.
Again, the physics of it, I don't understand. He's saying that you could use this gecholim. You know, let's say, for example, the fire is coming this way. So the top half of the chometz is burnt, and the bottom half of the chometz is not burnt yet. So the fumes, or the heat that's coming out of this top part of the chometz is coming from the burnt part of the chometz. So that's considered mut. Omer read the svara who decried the tashbisu mayri. The Torah is talking about burning it, even in a case where I don't need to use the gechol. So how can it be that I'm doing that on Yom Tov? There's no tzorech chol nefesh. So basically, the Ri's first answer accepts the premise of the Havamin of Tosus that this would be mutter. Inami kevan de mitchilas havara eino yochol lehenos mimenu. When he first starts burning this chometz, he's enjoined from Hano. He can't bake his food. Why? It hasn't turned into what? Into gecholim. Is afagav, even though down the line yehelo hanami menu acharkach, when it becomes what? Gecholim, nevertheless also. So Tosus postulates that you cannot do an action which leads you at this point to no benefit, but ultimately would lead you to benefit. To create a malacha vokal nefesh, I have to say that this malacha, as it's being done now, is defined as a melech ha'ochel nefesh. The relationship between the melech when it's done and the ochel nefesh that results has to be immediate. If it's through a delay process, it's only after the chametz is converted into gecholim, then and only then I can use it as fuel to bake my bread. But initially, when I start the burning process, at that moment when I institute the melech, I don't have any ochel nefesh, because at that point I'm not allowed to be mene from the chametz. It's still chametz, it hasn't been burnt yet. Then that act of sreifa is not called ochel nefesh. Tosus thinks that the relationship between the melacha as it's done and the ochel nefesh that results has to be immediate. There has to be an absolute connection that joins the melacha as it's being done and when it's being done with the ochel nefesh. It can't be a process that ultimately at the end of the day will lead to ochel nefesh. Okay, man? So we'll take a pause now and...
A little stretch.
I need a drink of water.
Okay. All right. For those who would be interested to talk a little about Himnu Rabbanan. Let's see if I brought in my page here.
The only thing that's really spent time on is this was book and hour. Only on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and random days.
What we want to focus on is the nemanus, or lack thereof, of an isha, of a woman, to tell us that the bedikas chametz was implemented. She comes forward and she says, I can testify that there was a bedikas chametz.
As long as it was only Darabana.
Oh, so we don't know yet that it's Darabana. That's going to be the punchline of the Sugya.
Okay.
But what would be the din of the Isha as far as Hanemana is to say that the Chametz was removed on a Doraisa level before Bittul? Let's say there's no Bittul, and we have a real Doraisa Torah problem.
But why wouldn't we believe her?
She's not believed. That's what the Gemara says. She's only believed.
Why not?
She's only believed because the Isha's Chametz is Darabana.
Evet, katan and
Hashem. Hamon ruve Hamon. You remember this? They instituted the Bika and they believed her. Other than that, had it been Doraisa, she would not be believed.
But why is a woman not believed? But we say in the Shanks that she is believed, that she should be believed.
Oh, only because the Rabbanan made a separate takana.
But meaning, it's one thing for her not to be chayiv in something, the other thing to say that she's not believed. Saying she's not believed means we just don't believe
her.
Correct. And it has tremendous implications. Can I believe a woman when she testifies about an Isser Doraisa?
Yeah.
And it marks it to say no.
What's the source that we don't believe her?
So she has no chiv in doing
so
it.
So here
why
we have
go all the way to do
a,
for us and tell us. She has no chiv in doing it. So why would she go, oh, wait a minute, I checked this whole entire...
Because your wife will do something for you to help you out.
It's so not let's say here's the question.
Cleans your house or whatever.
Can a woman...
That's what I said. I said women do clean the house, so why don't we believe
can
that?
Can a woman testify, for example, that she was mafresh trumos amaisers? Now, keep in mind, the status of these fruits or grains before her testimony is called teva, meaning our assumption is, until we know otherwise, and we know for sure that hafrasha was implemented, the status of this fruit is teva. Teva is an isur d'oraisa. If you eat teva, you have an isur b'dei shamayim. This is a very heavy, heavy first-rate isur. She comes along, she says, yes, I know that they took off trumas and maestros. Or, let me give you another scenario. There's something called...
We believe in that case?
Mikur means, in Yiddish, it's called treidim, meaning there's certain parts of the chalev that has to be removed from the animal. She comes and she says, I removed the chalev. But basically what we're talking about is a man coming home to his wife and eating a meal, and how does he know that the meal is kosher?
Kosher, exactly. How can you trust your wife?
So the issue here is... This Gemara says that we believe the Isha because the Vikas Chometz is only what... The Rabbanon, the Gemara says in Gittin that Eid Echa Nem Bisur, that one witness is believed as far as Isurim is concerned. So if I testify that these grains, that the Trumas of Ice were removed, you can rely on me. If I testify that the Shechita was done on this animal and it's not in the veil, you can rely on me. Why not extend it a step further and say that if a woman claims that there was Hafrashas Trumas of Ice, or for example, a woman says she went to Mikvah. Now what was the status of this woman before she went to Mikvah? She was an Issa Nida. Yeah. That's an Issa Doraisa, an Issa Kares. And she now says, well, I went to Mikvah. Well, can we trust her? The Gemara says we trust the woman in Bedikas Chometz only because of what? Bedikas Chometz Derabbanan. So that would imply that if there's an Issa Doraisa, she's not believed. Maisa B'chol Yom, on a daily basis, we rely on women to testify on Trumas and Maisris, on Kashris, on Nida, on everything. If not, Elo Yitzanu V'yadeinu Raglena, we'll never be able to exist. So Tosis comes up with a brand new idea. And this idea is called biyado. Biyado means it's within my path. Meaning, if she testifies on Hafrasha, it's because she's ksher la Hafrasha. She herself can implement Hafrasha. So she's testifying about something that she could do, that she can implement herself. A woman is also ksher la shechita. She could check an animal. Again, our meaning is that women do not check animals. But technically, if a woman checks an animal, the meat is kosher. So that's also beyond. What about in the case of mikvah? What ability does she have to remove the mikvah?
She goes herself.
She goes into the mikvah. She can be tovel as a satsma. So Tosis creates this whole new super principle that if you add to the nemonis of an isha a biyado situation, that biyado gives her nemonis.
So based on that, then the house should also be good.
Exactly.
A new principle.
Oh, okay, good. You're a step ahead of me, but just let's backtrack a little bit. What I want to point out is that Tosis is working with the following premise. Whenever you have a chazaka, that something is prohibited, what's called a cheskas isur, then eirecha nem bisurin, according to Tosis, only applies to an ish, a man, not a woman. Why? Because we need real edus. To remove something from a cheskas isur, we need an eid kasha. A man was considered part of the parish of edus, a woman was excluded. Anoshim v'lo noshim. Therefore, a woman should not be believed against the cheskas isur, because we need real bona fide eidus, and she's not clearly eidus. So eirecha nem bisur is correct, and the eirecha is believed to remove the cheskas isur, but only be din eidus. A woman not, unless it's biyado. Somehow Tosus says biyado has the power to remove the cheskas isur, meaning we have A and not A, and they sort of fight each other out. We have a battle here between Cheskas Isu, which tells me a woman should not be believed, and the Svar of Biyado, which tells me that a woman should be believed, and the Biyado is able to trump the Cheskas Isu as if it didn't exist, and we rely on each. Now Tosus asks Shalom's question, if that be the case, what about Bedikas Hametz? Why don't we say Bedikas Hametz is Biyado? She could have done the Bedika. If she's testifying there's no chametz in the house, she has the ability to check the chametz for the house, remove any chametz in the house. Why shouldn't she believe to say that somebody else did the bedikah? You'll tell me that the house has a cheskas isur, meaning until the bedikah, we assume that there's chametz in the house. She's removing the cheskas isur. For that, I need eirecha nem bisurin, who's a kashra, eid and not an isha. The answer is biyado. So Tosis comes up with a whole new idea. That biyado only applies when it's easy, without any tircha, without any tremendous investment of time and effort. Then we say biyado. But if it's something involves a lot of tircha yisera, let's look at the language of Tosis again.
Why does he make it seem like women are incapable?
There's a tchum of such a
tircha. We'll get to tchum in a minute, but let's just see the language of Tosis.
Much for the lady to
he
do
says,
anyway.
Mishum, it's the third of the wide lines of Tosfos. Mishum, Bidika, Tircha Yisera. Bidika is a separate thing. It requires Tircha Yisera. It's our Digdut Gadol. And you have to be very meticulous. Why would a woman possibly be laid back about Bidika, not do Bidika Gadol? Why are we so worried? Why not apply the principle of Biyada? We know that when she goes to mikvah, she's very meticulous. She makes sure there's no chatzitza. And Alts thinks she does it kibasu within 100%. But Bedikah, all of a sudden we think maybe not.
She doesn't want to waste her food.
Well, on a psychological level, not that she doesn't want to waste her food, but what does she think about this house?
She thinks the house is fine.
She thinks the house is fine. Why does she think the house is fine?
It's her domain.
Yeah, and she did what?
She already cleaned it.
She already cleaned it. What woman doesn't clean for Pesach? Yeah. Yeah, the chametz, what do they call it? The chametz, hey, what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with an N. It's a slang word. You know, they get the chametz. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The chametz cooties. It doesn't start with an N. Do you remember that phrase? You know, they go crazy over chametz. They're cleaning every little teeny thing there. They're whitewashing the walls. So she's going to do the bdika. But my Rebbe added something that I wanted to share with you. It always made an impact on me. My Rebbe said that when his father used to do Bedika, so because of his station in life, his age or whatever, he used to, when he got up to the attic part, he used to ask my Rebbe, his son, who was a young boy, to go up to the attic. You check up in the attic. He appointed him as a shliach. So the Rav admitted to us that he didn't do such a good Bedika. Why? What's the psychology? He said something very fascinating. He said, when you feel that someone is shirking their responsibility and shoving it onto you, but it's really he's supposed to be doing it, you're not going to do a good job. What motivates you to do the tircha is the fact that you feel it's yours. It's your mitzvah, it's your obligation. But if somebody's pointing it off on you... So the Rav said the following, fascinating. He said, in bedikas chametz, the Rabbanu would mechayev the Balabais. He's obligated, not the Isha. Just like in their Shabbos, the Chachamim would mechayev the Isha. If she is being brought in to do the Bedika, then basically she's fulfilling someone else's chiyuv vicariously. It's not really her chiyuv. She's going to be a little laid back about it. And therefore, since it requires such tircha and such kpeda, and she realizes that it's not her chiyuv, she won't do the same job. I love the Rav's pshat. I just had one problem. What happens in the case of an almana? She lives alone. She doesn't have a husband. She's obligated in Vedika. Just like a man who doesn't have a wife or his wife is away, he's got to light their Shabbos candles.
Then she's considered the Balas Habayis. I mean,
she'll do a great job. Yeah. So Tosis doesn't make any distinctions here whether she's married or she's not married. According to the Rav, so you're going to have to apply some sort of low pluga look over here. I don't know. It's a little, that then it becomes patchwork. You know, when it's smooth, I love it. But so that's what the Rav said, that this is not in any way a statement about women as opposed to men, that women are lazy and men are more meticulous. It's a statement that could apply to men as well. It all depends who the chiv is. When the chiv is on you, you're going to do it. If the father of the house sends you to do it, you know, because he's a little bit lazy about it, or he doesn't have the kayaf to do it, you know, you fudge it a little, you cut corners. And that's what he said. All right, there's a lot more to talk about, but we'll go down to Minuta now, and maybe we'll get a chance to finish this tomorrow.
What's an example of something that's not the other?
What's not the other? Let's say, for example...
Is that what Tosa brings up?
Oh, let's say, for example, Tchum Shabbos. Right? Tchum Shabbos is objective. You can't decide where the Tchum Shabbos is. There's a city, you count 2,000 Amos. So if somebody would testify that this is within the chum, and we don't know if he's right or not, that testimony would not have the additional strength, the power of the other. So then we would say if a man would testify, he's believed, but a woman or a katan should not be believed because we're lacking the other. But again, that all is conditional on the premise that we established before that there's a cheskas isur. Once there's a cheskas isur, then you need edus. Eid Echad is enough in Isurim, but you need an Eid Kosher, according to Tosis, unless it's for you. Yeah. Alright, let's run down to the Mincha. Did I turn on a tape?
Yes, I did. Oh, yeah, I did.